Okay, so this week, we're going to be dealing with sowing and reaping. So I just want to open up in prayer, because for me, this just pulling this together has been something God has been laying on my heart for so long, but writing it down just gave me such a new aspect for myself of what he was saying to me.
Yeah.
So let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would host this meeting and that you would lead it and guide everything that happens in this time. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy has no right or no authority to come and mess with us, that we have open eyes and ears and hearts to receive everything, Lord, that you want us to receive. So we just thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So let me get my. So this week I have to use notes because it is really quite something that's. So when you think about sowing and reaping, most people automatically go to like finances, or they go to like words that you've spoken. I'm just trying to. Thought for a minute I had my papers all messed up. No, but I don't. Sorry. So, when you give your life to Jesus, you are a new creation. So you're born again. So everybody here is born again. They've given their life to the Lord. So there can be no possession. The enemy can't possess you anymore because the minute you give your life to the Lord, light comes in, the light of Jesus, as Wendy was talking about, and darkness can't dwell when there's light. But the enemy can oppress you. Okay? And that's the difference. Possession is when you're unsaved. Oppression, you can have oppression when you are saved. And that is basically through things that we have allowed in our lives that they have a legal right to come in and oppress us in this. So through the oppression is normally a manipulation to do things that you don't want to do, things that you know that you shouldn't be doing. It's areas of your life that you want to change, but you try and you try and you never really succeed in changing that particular area of your life. In this journey of self-discovery and allowing yourself to see yourself as God sees you, the true work within and without begins as you look over your field of harvest. So this is not a time for judgment of yourself, or beating yourself up, or being ashamed. It's not. It's a time of allowing the Holy Spirit to highlight areas that He wants to work in, that He wants to make you aware of. I've often, I think on Sunday, I said about school. When you go to school, you go to your first grade and you learn the alphabet. When you go to your next grade, you learn to put the alphabet together and you begin to make words. So I believe whatever God's going to share today is you are ready to receive whatever He has for you to receive today. So it's time to take stock and reevaluate what is good and what needs to go. So the good, the bad, and the ugly, the life seeds that you've chosen or the death seeds. So in this workshop session, you will be looking at where you have opened yourself up to life seeds and where you've opened yourself up to death seeds. And as I said earlier, most people go to finances, a lack of finances, or words that they've spoken or been spoken over them, like you're too stupid, you'll never amount to anything, or that kind of stuff, right? But there's also actions. So, in the light of what God showed you last week, in the fact that you can hear Him through sight, through hearing, through taste, through touch, smell, awareness, even sex. Seeds you receive and seeds you sow. You are given seeds to sow, but you also receive seeds that are sown into your life. Some seeds may have been sown from your family, so family history, your own lifestyle, your own, what you've taught yourself or what somebody else has taught you, choices you've made or haven't made, and they have taken root in your life. So let's explore some of the areas where seeds have been sown. Now, I'm going to try and be clever, but I don't know whether I will be able to or not. No, that's not where I want to go. I want to try and see if I can share my screen. Let's see, where am I? Okay, can you see my screen?
A bunch of books.
Yeah, well, they're bags. They're bags with seeds at the top. So this one is self seeds. Well, self, and this is the out, on the self, it says the outcome. So I'm going to be emailing you these. There will be a worksheet, something like that. All right. So on the one side, actually, let me see if I can find the proper one that I actually want to share with you, I think. Okay. There we are. Okay. But if you see on the top one here, I've put like at the top, it's an example of what I'm saying. So at the top, it says Bible daily Bible study. And so that's the seeds that you're sowing. And then on here is the outcome. So sound biblical knowledge. On this side, criticism. So people or you criticize yourself, which equals low self-esteem. Then discipline can equal orderliness. So everything in good order. Right. Then you'll see down below, I've put a little line over each. So this will be the different areas of your life. Okay, if I was doing it for myself, I might put here the seeds that I've sown in to my husband. Then I would put the next one. I would put seeds of my lifestyle, and then I think I've given you about five different seed packets, which you can fill out, which I'll email you, and then you can fill out as you go along. Okay.
I don't think I'm seeing the same screen as you.
Oh. Okay.
I've got like your kind of, oh, it's gone now. Where's it gone?
Yeah, no. I've stopped sharing. Why? It was just the seeds on both sides. One was the seed. Oh, what did you see?
I literally saw like a desktop. It was like a whole lot of different.
Oh, okay. Let me try again just to see if I can get it to share screen. It's in that one. Okay, now let me just get it's that one that I want to share. There we are. Can you see it now?
No, I can see a thing, but it's not what you're describing. It's got...
At the top, it says seed sown and future seed worksheet.
No.
No?
It says has on NH Facebook, and it's got 1 John 4:15.
Okay, that's the wrong... It hasn't gone to... So it hasn't gone to share what I'm supposed to be sharing. Molly, what do you see?
I see three things that look like I got to print them out. And it says week 5, area of seeds.
Okay, yes. That's with this. So on the one side, I've got three sacks. And on the other side, it's like ground that you've sown.
I can just see the one side. Three.
Okay. Squares. All right. So that's not exactly very good. Anyway, You will be receiving those in the emails. I will send it out to you. If you want to print it out, that's fine. If you want to just write on a piece of paper using it on the screen, that's fine. Either way, we'll be okay. Where you gone, Wendy? I can see your coffee table.
I'm trying to, I don't know why it's gone back to front. Oh, there we go. Okay. A screenshot so I could show you what I was seeing.
Oh, okay.
Plus, anyway, right. Cheat.
So, right. So the scriptures that I got, let me just get this. Okay. Was Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. Now, I'm sure I wrote them out somewhere. Hang on, I've got them. Galatians. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Okay, so that is talking about the fact that we reap what we sow, whether it's from the good sack or the bad sack, or the okay sack, or the medium sack, it doesn't matter what sack we sow from, we will reap what we sow. Then Hosea 4 verse 6, I should have put these in order, really, says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." A lot of us, take for example, if you don't know about gravity and you jump off a 20-story building, you're still going to plummet and die. You might not have known about gravity, but you're still going to die. Okay. And basically what I believe God is saying to us is that he wants us to know these things so that we don't end up dying and we can deal with what we have in our life. We can, if it's the right time, we can weed out all the bad seeds and plant good seeds in its place. Mark 4, 26 to 29, it says, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripened, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Now, sometimes we have to allow things to grow to its full extent, and then we have to chop it down. But I believe that when the Holy Spirit is highlighting something in our lives, If you're using a very good weed killer, a proper weed killer, what it does when you spray it on, it allows it to grow super fast. But as it grows, the weed killer not only lets it grow so that the seeds on the weed are there, but it kills those seeds and it kills the roots. So when you pull it out, no roots are left there. And no seeds are scattered. But if you don't use the right weed killer, those seeds that are in there, the roots might die, but the seeds, if you pull it out and it gets shaken, then it can scatter its seeds and replant itself in your life. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit is the one that highlights things that need to be dealt with in our lives, that's the time for us to deal with those things. Because that's when it's dead. It's dead to being reproduced. But also, there is a time when God's dealing with something and it can seem like your life is getting worse. You know, if you think about it, the weed is growing. You think weed killer should be killing it, but it actually grows and blossoms, but in that it kills it right down to everything. Everything gets killed and then God removes it in one fell swoop. Okay. So it can be one or the other. It can be accelerated or looks like accelerated bad times, accelerated sin, accelerated whatever, but it's when it's actually growing so that God can pull it out because it'll then be dead. Do you understand what I've just explained?
Yeah.
Okay. Then in Jeremiah,
to find it. I've lost my Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 4:3-4. Okay. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judea and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, circumcise your heart, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Now, I believe what God is saying here is that when God calls us, when he's highlighting something in our lives, it's normally a dead area in our lives that he wants to use, that has laid dormant, that the enemy has crippled it, has put weeds there or made it dry up so badly that nothing's produced there. But when God calls us to do something in our lives, that's like breaking up that fallow ground because God, and then it normally, as far as I stand corrected, but as from what I remember, a farmer telling me once is that when they fell the ground, and they toss it and they might put manure in, they leave it. Now, some it all depends what kind of soil, but some get left for a year and some get left for 3 years. So that when you come back to filling it up again, it's ready, it's been fed, it's ready to receive the seeds that need to be planted in there. Okay, so there might be something that's in your life that maybe you felt you dealt with, like say 2 years ago. But that was just breaking up the fallow ground. And God is now, it's a time now where God is going to say, okay, I want to plant seeds in that area of your life now. So we need to be open to whether it is a time of pulling out weeds or it's plowing up the ground. Okay, and either can be difficult or easy. It all depends on our willingness to work with God in those areas. And then going back, I'm sure we said it last week, but Isaiah 55:11, it says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I have desired and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, as we were talking last week, as I said, you know, a lot of us hear God's voice, we get prophetic words, and those words will not return to God void. Whether we partner with him and work alongside him with those words, or whether if we choose not to, because if we don't pick it up, he will send that word out to somebody else. It'll go to somebody else and they will pick it up and they will work with it. But it will return to the Lord and accomplish what he sent it. We have the choice whether we want to be a part of that or not. Do we sow into God's plans and purposes? Do we join him in filling out our ground, pulling out the weeds and getting things right or not? Now, so there is this, as I've said, there's different ways. But one of the ways that the Lord really highlighted on my heart is, and I don't know, I know, Wendy, I know that you've heard of this, but Molly, I don't know if you have, and that is soul ties. Have you heard of soul ties, Molly? Okay. Now, soul ties don't just pertain, yes, they do pertain to marriage and to the one flesh, but there is also soul ties where there's friendships or families and things like that, that soul ties are created. Because if you look in, if you look at David and Jonathan, when they exchanged things, they had a soul tie, which was a godly soul tie. They backed one another up. They were always there for one another. God was a part of that relationship. But then if you look in Genesis 34, verses 2 and 3 and 8, it's about, I'll read it to you. It'll be easier for me to read it. It says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bore unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the county, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul cleaved unto Dinah. And then in verse 8 it says, and Hamor communicated with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Okay, that is an ungodly, because he took her in the wrong way. So that is an ungodly soul tie. Right? So in 1 Samuel 18 verse 1, it talks about David. And it came to pass when he had made end of speaking with unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And that was a godly tie. So we have to look in our lives and see what soul ties that we have, not just with spouses, okay, but with people that we've allowed to enter into our lives, that we've become very close with, but actually at the end of the day, they actually have opened a door for the enemy to come in and poke around in our lives. So soul ties are the doorway that gives the enemy legal right, because he's entering through the other person. He's not entering through you. He's entering through the other person. So it gives him legal right to enter into your life and mess with it. And this is one way to become oppressed or manipulated. As with any death seeds, we need to firstly go to the Lord and repent. Ourselves, our family, as I was sharing with you earlier, Molly, when divorce came knocking on my door in my marriage, I had to close that for myself. I repented for my mom and my grandmother, for the generations that were before me, for divorcing. I had to repent for myself for even thinking about going down that line. And then we prayed for my children. But then from that time, it's their choice. We've set them free, but then they once again have to have a choice, because we all have free will. But we've set them free by our repentance of the past. Secondly, forgive ourselves and others. Wash them in the covenant of Jesus and begin to renew our minds, our hearts, etc. Continue to hear the voice of the Lord for ourselves. So as we let go of that, as we recognize what is ungodly ties, soul ties, and what is godly soul ties, we then need to step forward once we've repented, once we've renewed our minds, forgiven, and step forward into what God is calling us to. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Your mind is the battlefield where what is in your heart. So your mind is the battlefield. So what's in your heart and the enemy meet in your mind. And that's where the battle is, the warfare is, right? Your emotions become thoughts. And his accusations, so your thoughts and his accusations, if it's not from a healed heart, if it's from an unhealed place, they fight against each other. And these become seeds which you you allow to be planted into your mind and heart, which will then take root and grow. Because the word says, whatever's in our hearts flows out of our mouth. So once again, Matthew 15, verse 18 to 20. Proverbs 12, verse 14. And of course, once again, Isaiah 55, 11. So the mind is the battlefield, the heart is the soil, and the mouth is the fruit of what is planted in your heart. So that's why we have to renew our minds, so that we ensure that what's in our hearts is good soil, is good seeds. Any questions? All make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Let us stop. What are those three things again? The mind is the battlefield.
Yes. The mind is the battlefield. Your heart is the soil.
Yeah.
And your mouth is the fruit. Because it says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the mouth is basically what's showing people what's in your heart.
Yeah.
And the battlefield is where the enemy and the word, which is normally in your mind, come head to head. And it's who you allow, who are you going to allow to win? Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, there's different areas in your lives. I'm just going to get one of... Okay, so there's plenty of things that you can, I'm sure God's already highlighted stuff for you, but just in case you need a little bit more direction, you can have a sack of seeds which you've sown into your children. Okay, you can have a sack of seeds, what you've sown in your home. You can have a sack of seeds for your spouse, for yourself, for thinking about your family heritage. Seeds from there as well. There might be seeds that the Holy Spirit wants to highlight that comes from your family that is not good seeds. We might think it is, but then religion isn't a good seed. Relationship is a good seed, but not proper relationship is a good seed, but not religion. So if you are operating out of religion, that's not a good seed. Okay. That's a manipulation. A manipulation to do things the way that the world think that Christianity should be doing something. It's not the way that God sees something. So what I will do is I will send all you ladies, even though Tracy and Gail haven't been able to make it, I'll send it out to them anyway. And then there's the one side on the left side is the sack of seeds. And then on the right side is the ground. So in other words, it's the trail. So as I said to you, if you did a daily Bible study is the seed, then the outcome would be a good solid biblical foundation or knowledge. Okay. If you've been sowing criticism into your life or somebody's been sowing criticism into your life, you will be reaping low self-esteem, not thinking highly of yourself. Okay. If you have sown discipline into your life, you should have an orderliness in your life. Okay. So thinking about different areas of your life, that's why I put the little line there. So you can put in there myself, my children, or whatever it is that you're going to ask God to reveal seeds. And then once you've done that, look at the seeds that you want to remove or want to replace and ask. Don't look at it and be overwhelmed and think, oh, there's so many there. Just ask the Holy Spirit to deal with one seed at a time, one little field of whatever it is. So it could be like, for example, it could be criticism of yourself. Ask the Lord to deal with that. If there's an ungodly soul tie, do you know what I mean? Deal with, if God wants to deal with that first, deal with that first before you deal with the criticism, for example. So it's just doing what God wants you to do at this time, because he knows what you need to get rid of. He knows what you need to unearth to be able to set yourselves up well for success for the next season of your life. I mean, I have to be honest, when God was showing me this, I never thought of soul ties as seeds. And yet, it's one, if you think about it, it's the most, I mean, the biggest door that the enemy can use to come in. You know, I mean, I made friends with somebody, and Marshall said to me, I did share with Molly a little while ago about Marshall always would say to me, be careful of that person because he has the spirit of discernment. And I didn't listen to him, and we became very good friends. And it was all fine in the beginning, and then it just went downhill after that. And the repercussions of that friendship, of that soul tie, I had to work with for a year afterwards. And it was only for a short time. Fortunately for me, it was only for a short time. You know, I mean, it's even to the fact of one of my siblings, I've had to cut soul ties with them, because every single time I get myself involved in their life again, and every single time they do the same thing over and over and over. That doesn't mean I haven't forgiven them. That doesn't mean if they knock on my door, I won't invite them in, or I won't spend time with them, but I won't invest in them, because if I'm investing, if I'm sowing seeds, I'm going to be reaping something. And that reaping, God's already warned, is not something that I need to reap at this time in my life. Maybe when I'm a little bit stronger, maybe when things have changed and I'm in a stronger position, maybe then yes. But that would only be because God is saying so, not because Vanessa wants it. So for me, just putting this together, I've been having to do a lot of soul searching to see what I've put in my life that is not supposed to be there, even to my jobs. You know, I shared with you last week about going for that interview. Well, this whole weekend, I didn't have 1 ounce of peace about it. Not 1 ounce of peace. And I went for the interview and then I was open. I didn't say I didn't have peace because they wouldn't have understood. I just said that I have been sitting down and I've been thinking about it. And God gave me points to share that would satisfy them to say that I could not take the job. And the minute I did that, they turned around and said, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for being open and upfront with us. If ever your circumstances change, we would love to have you on board. You know, and the minute I walked out of that meeting, it was like the peace of God just filled me. Like I'd been missing it. If I had taken that job, I believe it would have been something in the fact I would have been sowing into the wrong field. I would have been sowing into a place where God doesn't want me to. I would have been investing myself in something that God didn't want me to invest in. Right, ladies, any other questions or any questions that you would like to ask, or is there anything you'd like to share? No? I got my two quiet ladies here. My other talkative ones are not here today.
Yeah. A lot of food for thought there. So, maybe beginning of next week's session, we'll share.
Yes, that'll be good. Yes. Okay, so let's just close in prayer and then I will stop the recording. And then before you ladies disappear, I would like to, Wendy, I would like you to pray for Molly, if that is okay. So let's just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love to work in us and through us. And you love to help us to become all that God created us to be. And so we lay this time at your feet and we say, Lord, show us what we need to deal on with so that the oppression and the manipulation may not happen in our lives any longer, but that we would be set free to be all that you've called us to be, all that you've planned for us to be, all that you've purposed for us to be. And so, Holy Spirit, we just give you free rein right now to work in our hearts and our minds and let us see things clearly and hear more clearly as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.